Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the privilege to come together and to hear not my word but yours. So now may the Holy Spirit prepare our hearts and minds to be receptive to your word. May you restrict minds and be helpful and few. We just pray that we'll worship you and you alone. In Christ's name, amen. Nothing makes a preacher happier than the noise of a scripture page is turning or a baby cooing. Audrey is cute. 2019. What type of year do you think it'll be? What do you think the stock market will do? What will your health do? What about society in general? What about Congress? What do you think 2019 could be? I bet if I drove around this afternoon to all sorts of neighborhoods, I'm probably going to drive through neighborhoods where there's a lot of fear and questioning that people have for 2019. Do you agree? If I drive into some very affluent neighborhoods, those residents might have some fear. If I drive into some very poor neighborhoods, those residents would have some fear. If I went into young, old, wherever I might drive, there's going to be fear. But I can tell you that there is a neighborhood that I could drive into today, this afternoon, where the residents will not have a fear for 2019. No fear at all. You know what neighborhood I'm talking about? A cemetery. The residents there aren't going to worry at all about 2019. Now, I'm not encouraging any of us to move to that neighborhood this year. But I am saying, as a country singer said it more poetically than I, when he said, live like you were dying. And that's good advice. Let me give you better advice, for it comes from the words of Scripture and Jesus Christ. Live like you're dead. Or in other words, live like you're baptized. We sang it today. We died in our baptism, but that gives us a lot of freedom because dead people don't worry. They don't fear. If we look at water, water is pretty chaotic. And we've had a lot of it this year, haven't we? Some of your basements have flooded once and twice, and water has devastated different parts of our country. And in the scripture, water is always, especially the ocean, but waters in general, the chaotic nature of water was always symbolic of the government. Because it was big, you never knew what they were going to do, but when they did it, it could powerfully destruct. So the ability of a God to, by his word, speak, and waters would be controlled. Peace, be still. And waters could be directed, was where their hope was. The psalmist says in Psalm 42, 7, at wonderful verse 1, it says, like a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you. Then in verse 7 of Psalm 42, it says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of thy waterfalls. Water's noisy, isn't it? Water is extremely noisy. The ocean waves coming in is noisy. Waterfalls are noisy. Water sprouts that come up and down in the ocean are chaotic and noisy. But in the midst, God's voice is louder. Charles Spurgeon, a pastor in 19th century England, wrote regarding this psalm, and it's as fresh as if he had written it this morning. As in a waterspout, the deeps above and below clasped hands. So it seemed to David that heaven and earth united to create a tempest around him. His woes were incessant and overwhelming. Billow followed billow. One sea echoed the roaring of another. Bodily pain aroused mental fear. Satanic suggestions chimed in with mistrustful foreboding. Outward tribulation thundered in awful harmony with inward anguish. His soul seemed drowned. as in a universal deluge of trouble. That's an apt description of how life can be at times. You just feel like you're overwhelmed. Or to use the old adage, when it rains, it seems to pour. But the message of the gospel is that the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, is stronger yet. If you look with me in Psalm 29, that was the song for last week, we read that the voice of the Lord is over the waters. It's more powerful than the waters can be. At creation, with Noah as he went through the waters, with the Israelites traveling through the wilderness, at the baptism of Jesus, we see the word of the Lord, the voice from on high, being associated with water, and at our baptism. For Paul tells us that we were buried with him. We died. But he didn't leave us there. Paul tells us we rose again to walk in newness of life. For now we can walk without the fears, because those things we worry about are dead. So we have the best of both worlds, if you allow me to be. We're alive, but yet we've died. Sound like a Bible verse to you? Galatians 2:20. But nevertheless I, but it's Christ living in me. So let me tell you three things about this voice of God. The first thing is the voice of God redeems us from our sin. Redeems us from our past. Do any of you have a past or something in your past that if I told you we're getting ready to show a video of that incident or that period of your life, you might quietly and quickly leave the room? Let me put it this way. Do any of us not have a past? Have any of you said that you've lived perfectly? You've kept all the commandments. You've always made the right decision. From the day of your birth, you've kept all of these. Again, if that sounds familiar, it's what the rich young ruler told Jesus, that his past was full of just perfection. And Jesus said, it's still not enough, for our righteousness is never enough. But the voice of God redeems us from our past. The voice of God reforms us in Christ. We have this newness of life. But most importantly, the voice of God releases us from fear. I was reading a couple weeks ago about these little things you can buy. I have a cross that is called a worry cross. Maybe you've had it. Have you ever heard of worry beads and stones? Well, I read you can buy fear knots. And they're like little knots. And you can take and you can make little knots, and if you do something with your fear. But I found it interesting, but because instead of buying fear knots that you tie, and that's sort of apt, because fear does knot you up, doesn't it? When you start to fear your thinking, your hopes, what you think the future will be, you get all knotted up. But isn't it ironic that instead of buying fear knots, what the scripture tells us is, fear not. Don't fear, because you're dead. You died in baptism, but you resurrected in Jesus Christ. Baptism is where the old was drowned. The new is fearless, because God's word has spoken. In Ezekiel, we have a picture where God's word is spoken. And in this situation, it doesn't deal with water. It deals with dryness. You remember the story of the valley of dry bones? And the prophet looks with sadness and says, there's not only death here, but it died a long time ago. It's not only the carcasses of those that used to be alive, but they've been dead so long that their bones are now dry. What should we do? I've been there. Have you? Have you ever looked at a situation and thought, nothing good can come out of this? This can't change. we can get bound up in those fears. And the truth is, apart from the Word of God, nothing can change, can it? But the gospel is, we're never apart from the Word of God. For we know in that Ezekiel story that the Word of God spoke, and guess what happened? You remember the story? The bones started to rattle. And that should encourage us. Now, I don't like that part because I would like for God to just speak and there immediately be a body. But it's a process, isn't it? We hear the bones rattle and they never seem to come together quick enough, but we hold on to the Word of God that says, there's going to be life here. Let me close. If you turn to Romans 4, I want Abraham to be our model for 2019. Abraham dealt with death. Remember in Genesis 22, he was called to put to death his son, the child of promise. But he also dealt with death in another way because he got old. Have any of you gotten to the point where you think you're old yet? Do you? How many of you, I want to see a show of hands, how many of you think sometimes in your mind that you're younger than you are? Okay. Now, how many of you have a point or a part of your body that reminds you when you have that thought that you are exactly what you are? Well, Abraham is as well. Begin with me in verse 13. For the promise to Abraham, Romans 4, and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith, believing the word. For it is the inheritance of the law who are to be the heirs. Their faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith. In order that the promise, which is spoken word, may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring. Not only to the inheritor of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations. And he tells you exactly how he believed against hope, in hope. So shall your offspring be, verse 19. Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead. Now, that's not a very complimentary thing. Don't go up to either one of the birthday boys today and say, you know, you look all right, but you're as good as dead. But Abraham did have an edge on both of you. He was close to 100. Since he was about 100. And even if Abraham had some life, it says, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, his wife's womb had been barren and dry and unable to produce life for decades. But he didn't think about those. He didn't ponder what couldn't be, what shouldn't be, what is impossible. He didn't get knotted up, fearful of all of those things that Satan and the world and others will remind us of why something won't work. No, verse 20, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith. How did he grow strong in his faith? By considering the promise. Like Peter walking on the water. Consider the waves, you sink. Consider Jesus Christ and him alone, and you rise. He grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. This is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But if the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but also for ours, It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Our model for this coming year is that with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Brothers and sisters, let's fear not. Amen. Sand. The word of God spoke, and Moses struck a rock, and from the side of a rock came the waters of life. So too, from the side of Jesus Christ comes the waters of life, and the promise that as we go through life, he follows us. For the psalmist said, I'll prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow you. You will never be forsaken. This is the answer. Jesus Christ and him alone.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of hope, in your Holy Spirit, you hovered over the face of the waters in creation. And in your pillar of fire, you led your people to liberation across the Red Sea. Through the waters, you brought your people into the life and land of promise. In your son's baptism at the Jordan, we see your creative and liberating purpose at work. Amid our human flaws and failures, and we hear anew with hope at the promise of your voice. In our own baptism, you number us among your saints, created and redeemed for your glory. Through baptism, you bury us in death with Christ, yet raise us to new life with him forever. And so we gladly thank you with saints and angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessing God, who sent down your Holy Spirit like a dove upon your beloved, send your Holy Spirit among us now to sanctify us by your grace. By the power of that same Spirit, make these gifts of bread and wine be for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup. Again, he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Father of glory, you have opened your heaven and come among us. Be close to those who ache for your liberating power in the midst of travails and seek your open heaven. Visit all who need the healing, forgiving, peacemaking, and restoring touch of your Spirit and look for your kingdom to come. Bless all who long to be called beloved by a sibling or parent or spouse or friend or child, and any who are searching for the love that only you can bring. Until all stand in your presence and sing your name and are enfolded in your embrace, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God.
Amen.